Hello again, everyone, and welcome to Stuck in the 90s. My name is Jerry Strauss, and this is the show where we go back to the times when the colors were bright, the clothes were brighter, and it just may have been some of the best times of your life. My name, as I said, Jerry Strauss, and we've got a great guest for you this week. Of course, one of the most memorable cinematic efforts that came out of the 90s, one of the movements, you could say, all started with a little black and white film that came straight out of Jersey, kind of like me. That film, of course, Clerks, the man behind it, Kevin Smith, and so much great talent in that film. We've got one of those very memorable personalities with us this week. Marilyn Gigliotti is, did I pronounce that right?
You did. Hi, how are you?
Hi. I've been worrying about that. I've been stressing about that for 20 minutes.
That's funny, because it's like when Siskel and Ebert first did a review, I was holding my breath. It's like, are they going to pronounce my last name right or not?
How do people pronounce it? Because I'm not sure really what the natural way to say it was. I just guessed.
Well, I mean, well, it depends where you're from, for one, but the H throws everybody off, and basically that H is very silent.
Okay.
it's Gigliotti.
Gotcha. And you're originally from New York, so I can't even imagine the pronunciations that you got, and then moving over. Wow.
Yeah, there's quite a few different ways.
Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show. This is really cool. I'm a big fan of all the early that unbelievably innovative and influential Kevin Smith, that body of work. And the cool thing is that I feel like there's a big portion of that and a big portion of the players involved that have been heard from many, many, many times. And then there's someone like you who was so important to the movie that started it all, and I feel like this is a cool opportunity to get some information and learn about you, some people who may have never really heard you as frequently in interviews before.
Okay. Well, and thank you for having me on the show as well. I appreciate it.
No. Pleasure is all mine. Ours, really. I speak for everyone listening.
Thank you.
So I want to start at the beginning a little bit. And this is sort of the journey of an actress, which is more of a classic journey that we haven't really explored with anyone on this show yet. Now, you were born in New York. You started out, and I'm getting a lot of this information actually from your own website, which is very informative, by the way.
Thank you.
So you were born in New York, and you moved to Sayreville, New Jersey, which, for people who don't know, I come from Woodbridge, so...
Okay.
Right next door, pretty much. So you went to high school, got your beautician's license. At that point, was that sort of your career path, your goal, as far as what you were going to do for your future?
Well, and to some degree, yes. Growing up, I enjoyed watching the old movies, the old Hollywood movies with the singing and the dancing and all that kind of stuff. And, you know, I wanted to take dance lessons and all that kind of stuff. But my family was, you know, roof over the head, food on the table, clothes on the back. And that was pretty much it. You know, my parents were raised very old school. They came from Puerto Rico. And so there wasn't things of those nature for them growing up. So, and they come from huge families on both sides. So, that was all stuff that wasn't even extracurricular for them. It was just stuff, you know, to do. It was, you know, you had to go to school to learn, and that was about it. And nothing against that. That's what they knew. That's how they grew up. So I was always a very creative person. I would doodle. And so if any of those things were actually explored, and maybe, I'm not quite sure of the proper word to say, but, you know, just maybe supported, who knows what my come of all of that. So when it came to a time in my age where it's like, you know, was able to kind of maybe think for myself a little bit more. And now in high school, my high school actually did offer cosmetology, but I didn't take it in high school because I would have had to have learned how to dissect a frog in order to take that class as a prerequisite. And I'm like, I just, you know, not something I really want to do.
Wait a second. Where does that come in?
Well, because you needed to take biology, because in cosmetology, you do need to learn the muscles, the bones and of the head and the shoulders and certain aspects of it, because they do come into play when you do certain things for cosmetology. So in high school, the prerequisite to that was actually taking biology, where you learn all that stuff. And unfortunately, also in biology is having to dissect a frog.
I remember it well.
And so that's not something I wanted to do, so I didn't do it at that time. And so once I graduated, I joined the office workforce and basically got married and had a child. And after I had my daughter is when I thought, you know, I just don't really want to go back to that office job, and that's when I went to school for cosmetology, and that's what I thought. That's where I really thought my path was going to take me, because I really was, had an interest in it, and that was the first time I ever did as well as I did in classes as well, because I was basically a C average student. Once I was in a salon and I was doing well, I was working well. Then came another life-changing moment, and going through some changes with my life and my marital situation, and that's when I've kind of started exploring other avenues of trying to find myself, and that's where I kind of stepped into acting.
And that's interesting, because you actually go ahead and you mention that on your bio, on your website, and it's sort of an interesting thing. You hear all kinds of reasons why people fall into acting or entertainment, or why they gravitate toward it at different points in their life. So it seems like for you it was almost for therapeutic reasons. Is that how you would describe it?
Yeah, you know, it's funny because it's like the way it kind of started out was, because I am of such a certain stature, petite modeling was kind of big at that time. And so I said, let me see. Let me check this out. And shoe modeling, because it's like shoe models are basically a 5'6", and that's what my shoe size was and is. And so it's like it kind of went through this kind of path of, I don't know, kind of going back and forth, and where I just started looking in papers for certain things, and I found these classes in Red Bank, New Jersey, by the Actors Training Institute, and I started studying there, and I really enjoyed it. And I have to say, you know, yes, it's very therapeutic. You know, who needs a psychiatrist when you have acting classes? It really opens up your mind, and really you have to really become aware of yourself and certain things in your life. So it's great therapy. But I studied for about a good 2 years before I felt comfortable that I can go out and start auditioning, at least in the community theater circuit. But when I finally found myself on stage for that first time, that's when I knew. That's when I knew. I was like, oh, yeah, this is it.
So was
and,
that
and my
passion
changed.
Was that your original, I mean, your focus at that point when you decided to put yourself out there in the world to try to act? Was live theater more of your focus, more of your thing, or were you also going for different film projects and things like that?
Well, no, I mean, I was basically just kind of going where the ball would lead me. I really had no idea. It's like I took the classes. I took, like I said, 2 years of that, learning the different methods and styles and things like that. But, I mean, I had no clue really where I was going to wind up. I didn't know that it was going to be film. I mean, I didn't know that I'd actually be able to make anything of it, you know? So it was basically just kind of seeing where it leads me.
That's pretty amazing. I don't know if you've were a fan of the show The Office. They did a storyline where one of the characters, Andy, became he threw himself full time into trying to become a big actor. And there was a throwaway joke where they mentioned that he's got a full schedule of student film auditions. And it's funny, but I was actually sort of wondering. I mean, is there a point where you're really putting yourself out there, trying to get yourself in front of any camera, trying to get yourself on any stage, just anything like that, to get the experience and get sort of the demo reel? Is that something that you experienced?
In the very beginning, yeah. Once I felt that I had to grow from the theater experience, and once the film area was kind of starting to open itself up to me, I felt like, let's now gain some experience and some footage and put a reel together and things like that. But now, for me now, it's a little bit different, especially since Clerks.
Mm-hmm.
It's hard to put it into words, because to some degree I am kind of like this well-known actress, and when, like, for quite a few years after Clerks, you know, people would say, it's like, oh, you're Marilyn, you're a movie star and this and that, and I would be like, no, I am not. I made one movie. It's like, you know, to me, that does not classify a movie star. A movie star is someone who's actually making a living as an actress and, you know, constantly making films and things like that. But at a certain point, I kind of realized, wow, I'm really kind of negating what people are saying to me and myself. And I kind of realized, you know, I'm kind of holding myself back to some degree by not validating what people are saying to me. It's like, okay, so what? I'm only known for one thing. But to some degree, that also kind of hindered things as well, because it's like, okay, well, Marilyn, what have you done since then? I've been trying to get work, and I've been trying to get auditions. I've been taking classes. I'm working on myself and things like that. But, you know, it's Hollywood's not easy, and you know, neither is the film industry. So it's a continuous kind of work thing, you know?
Yeah, yeah. Well, let's just go back for a second. Let's go back to how long were you out there in the world acting before even the idea or the opportunity of Clerks came to you?
Probably just a little under 10 years, maybe.
Okay.
Well, no, you know what? No, let me take that back. I would say at the minimum, maybe about 6 years, at the most, maybe eight.
Okay, so somewhere in that range.
Somewhere in that range.
So how did you become aware of this? Was there some sort of an open audition, or was how did you get involved in Clerks?
I was in the process of rehearsals for a show at the time. In Red Bank. And through the grapevine, everybody's talking about, oh, someone's holding auditions over at the First Avenue Playhouse, some student film, or some kid's making this film. And if anybody wants to audition, they have to go this night and whatever. And so where they held the auditions is a place that I've actually done some theater work at. So I basically just kind of showed up and went to the audition and did a monologue, and pretty much rest is history on that one.
Do you remember it? Was there a ton of people there auditioning, or?
there were a ton of people there, mostly looky-loos.
Mostly what?
Looky-loos.
Is that...
You've never heard that term before? No, there were a lot of people there, but they were just kind of watching to see what was kind of going on, what was happening, and all that kind of stuff. Probably a good mix of half and half, though.
Okay, so there were a lot of people just hanging out, people who knew people or people who were just passing the time. So, I mean, like, for instance, did you, I know you said you just sort of showed up. At some point between the time you showed up and the time when you actually auditioned, how did you get to the point of auditioning for that specific part?
From what I understand, Kevin pretty much, once I got off the stage, just had me in mind for Veronica.
So you didn't audition for Veronica, like, specifically?
No, because I don't believe that I can remember there was even a breakdown of any kind of cast and what it was about or anything like that. It was pretty much, you know, show up with a monologue, it's going to be taped, and that's it. And I don't recall how long after that Kevin did contact me and basically asked if I would come down to the convenience store where he was working. And we talked for a bit. He had me take the script home because of certain little areas of dialogue. And whether I'd be comfortable with it or not, and I remember taking it home, and I actually took it to work. I was in the salon actually working at the time, and I'm reading the script, and I was very much enjoying it and laughing. So I pretty much called him back and said, yeah, I've got no problem. I mean, I'm acting. I'm talking about it, and, you know, of course. And so it was soon after that he was still casting some of the male roles. And so he had me go to actually read with whomever he was going to cast in the role of Dante, and I was very, very, very happy to see Brian O'Halloran because I had actually worked with him before.
Oh, okay.
So
he was he a frequent was he working a lot in the area at the time?
Well, Brian and I we both come from the same area.
Okay, so he was doing a lot of theater just like you were.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Okay.
Yeah, I remember the first time I actually saw Brian before I actually started acting, and it just happened to be at the theater that Kevin held the auditions at, and I saw Brian playing Renfield in Dracula, and I was very impressed with his role in that. And so later to have gotten to act with him on a couple of other theater performances was really great, and then to actually do Clerks with him, I felt at home.
So let's talk for a second about Kevin. Now, here's a guy who's holding this big audition. You go, you're meeting with him at the convenience store where he's working. Like, overall, what was your impression of Kevin Smith at that point at Ground Zero, and just the whole production in general? I mean, did this present a package to you that you were excited to get involved with, or was it something that you had reservations about?
I had no reservations, and I honestly couldn't really tell you what my first impression of Kevin was. I think I was just excited. It's like to be actually asked to be in a film and to actually have a pretty substantial role as well. And I mean, to my mind, I don't have any preconceived notions that, oh, he's just doing a student film or anything like that. We're all in this together. We're all kind of, you know, learning our experience together.
Mm-hmm.
Because none of us had done a film before.
And that's actually another question I was going to ask you. Just, you know, I remember when I was in college, I've never been involved in filmmaking, but I did take some film classes. And I remember getting involved with student films for projects and things like that. And I remember, you know, doing, you know, 2-day little shoots at somebody's house or somebody's dorm. And, you know, you look around and you realize we're just a bunch of kids like, putting this thing together, but nobody really knows what they're doing. And it's just a sign of, you know, the inherent lack of experience that comes with that age. But how is that sort of the fuel that the making of Clerks had? Because you had all these people who were, you know, clearly talented, but without really that experience, that leadership ability to say, hey, I've been there and done that, because nobody had been there or done anything.
Right. No, I mean, you know, the only experience that I had was the theater, which obviously is a different medium, but still, it's about being, you know, for me, being as natural as I possibly could, but, you know, like, let's all be there for each other kind of a thing. I just wanted to do my best.
Mm-hmm.
That was a lot of dialogue.
Yeah, there's a chatty movie for those who, for whatever reason, have been living under a rock and have never seen Clerks or any of the other View Ask You movies, the Kevin Smith movies, that we'll get to those in a moment too. So you make Clerks. How long did it take from start to finish to put this thing together?
It's hard for me to say, but I know that for me, I know we had maybe about a week of rehearsal prior to start shooting, and then I had, I believe, another maybe 5 days that I was on set personally. My week of not getting a lot of sleep, because it's like if I wasn't on set, I was at work or asleep or getting whatever little sleep I could.
And that was the deal, right? A lot of it was filmed overnight.
Yeah. But that's the only time that he had use of the convenience store, because it was pretty busy during the day.
Sure. What a story. So the movie is finished. It starts to be seen. It starts to gain this buzz. It becomes this unbelievable monstrosity. It gets attention throughout the, you know, all the way up to the Hollywood community. When this begins, this buzz for this movie, how does this begin to affect, well, you personally? I mean, did this start to actually draw attention to you from media, from journalists, things like that?
Yeah, to some degree it did. You know, once, I can't remember if it was after we came from Sundance or if it was after the New York Film Festival. There were a couple of things kind of going on, you know, some media that would come actually to work and interview me at work, at the salon that I was working at the time. So it was quite exciting. It's like trying to figure out also, well, what's going to happen, and will this be a stepping stone or not, you know, and trying to figure it out as well, because, again, still something all very new, and in hindsight, you know, I wish, knowing what I know now, I would have done some things a little bit differently to hopefully kind of maybe push things along a little bit better as well.
Well, the thing that's really mind-blowing, and you know, I was just sort of pondering this today, is that if you think about if Clerks were to be released, say, today instead of back then, just imagining all the social media attention and just all the additional ways that people would be talking about it and, you know, debating it. And I mean, it would have been, I mean, as big as it was, it would have been almost tailor-made for the now. I mean, in many ways, it really was ahead of its time.
Yeah, definitely. You know, I didn't know how to work the publicity angle at that time. You know, there were some interviews that were done with all of us, and there were some that were done just with Kevin. And it's like, well, immediately, Kevin was able to get an agent and manager and all that kind of stuff, and they pretty much supplied everybody for him. And I think thinking back now, again, with what I know now, it's like, I didn't know I could hire my own publicist. I didn't know that I can do certain things and get myself media attention so that I can hopefully get a little buzz behind me as well. I didn't know any of that stuff. I think collectively we probably could have gotten a publicist or something like that. But who knew? We didn't know.
How could you know? But, I mean, it still had to have been just cool just to ride that wave of, you know, all these people talking about you, reading reviews of the movie, and just mm-hmm. knowing that this movie that you filmed overnight mm-hmm. in a convenience store that was operational at the time mm-hmm. Ended up going to these major film festivals and being talked about alongside some of the other biggest, most publicized movies of that year or that time period.
Yeah, and you know, and I will say that to some degree, too, I had a big fear of, oh, gosh, well, what if this does go really, really big? It's like, well, what if this does go really big for us? You know, I mean, there's, you know, paparazzi wasn't anything like it is today, but it still was pretty bad. And so there was that fear of, it's like, oh, anonymity, not being able to go anywhere, the actual success. I mean, there were a lot of fears behind it all because, again, you know, we're still pretty new, and it's like, wow, am I ready? Am I really ready? On a lot of levels, am I ready? So, yeah, you know, I think to some degree that did hold me back.
And really the interesting thing is that's sort of a parallel for what the movie is really all about. Are you ready to move to the new step in your life? And that's really what your character was all about, because you represented that embracing of the future for Dante and his reservations in doing so. Did you find that this was a character or a part of the movie that was particularly something desirable for you to represent? Was it a character that you really enjoyed playing?
Oh, I did, very much so. And I related to her in a lot of ways. So, you know, it wasn't too much of a stretch for me in a lot of respect.
Gotcha. You mentioned it before, but we got to hit it one more time. And I know you had said you had reviewed the script beforehand just to make sure that you were okay with everything from mm-hmm. a moral perspective, I guess, mm-hmm. that went on the movie. So, you know, for those who haven't seen the movie, you know, Marilyn played Veronica, who was the main character's girlfriend, and a big part of the movie is his sort of going back and forth whether he wants to, you know, really truly emotionally commit to this relationship that could represent, you know, it could represent his future. It could represent a family. And, of course, in the sequel, we know it doesn't quite go down that way regardless. But during the course of all this debating, certain things come out about your past. And mm-hmm. one of them is your amorous history pre-Dante. Mm-hmm. It's pretty graphic. People, I'm sure, know it. If not, maybe if they haven't seen the movie, maybe they don't want to know. So I'll leave it there. But you were, did you actually find that to be just straight up comedy for you? Just no problems whatsoever?
Not that I can recall. Yeah, it wasn't an issue or a problem. But you know, when I actually am going through those lines and letting him know what it is, and there's like this certain face on my look, you know, that's very real because I was actually picturing it in my head. Like, wow, that's actually pretty gross. Who knew it would be what it was, you know? Who knew that it would be me? The reason why, not necessarily me, but the character and all that kind of stuff that got the NC-17 rating.
Yeah, congratulations on that.
Yeah, you know.
I remember seeing the movie in college not long after it came out, I guess. And, you know, I don't have a grasp of the history of cinema, but to me it was pretty groundbreaking stuff to be in a movie that I was actually sitting and watching like on my television. But it was hilarious, and I think the main point of it all is that it was supposed to be, to an extent, something that people could relate to.
Yeah.
even if it was something that was never really expressly said in comedies before. But
I mean, and even not for that character, but for all the characters that were in there, I feel that anybody can find themselves within any of the characters that are on there.
Yeah, I think so.
It's pretty real.
That's and I think that's really the appeal of that movie and a lot of Kevin's work in general, is that beyond the jokes, you know, whether you consider them offensive or not, it's about real emotion. This movie was about growing up, and that's, I think, what really drew people to it, even if they didn't know it.
Right, right.
So you come out of this, and some time goes by, and I'm trying to remember, I don't have it in front of me, really, the history between Clerks and the amount of time before that particular universe moved on. I believe Mallrats was the second movie that Kevin made. Where were you in your relationship with Kevin and just the rest of this family, so to speak? Was there consideration for you to move on to be in Mallrats?
Well, we actually were... I don't know, I'm trying to think of the word. It's like we were kind of given from the casting, because at this point, Mallrats was, you know, big studio, so it's like Kevin didn't have as much say into the project as he did with Clerks. So this was a whole different kind of ballgame. And so we were kind of like, oh, okay, yeah, you know, you can bring those guys in for an audition. So I can't think of the proper word I want to use right now. But it's like, okay,
sounds
you want to
like
have them
blown off.
I feel like a little bit, yeah, because I remember going into the audition, and I can't remember what role I even went in there for anymore. But I do know that it was, you know, somewhere in the lead area. And when I was asked, give my name and the role that I'm going to audition for, and you say that in front of the camera. And I just remember seeing the casting director, one of the people in there, you know, besides Kevin and Mosier, just kind of like get this look on her face like, huh? And then kind of look, I forget to whom, it's like, and basically, like, why is she auditioning for that role? Kind of a thing. So... well, that shot, you know, don't shoot me in the foot that early. It's like, let me at least do my audition before you shoot me in the face and get this insecure actor all worked up now. It's like, why am I even auditioning?
Can I ask, where was the audition? Was it out on the West Coast?
No, it was in Manhattan somewhere.
Oh, okay.
I don't remember where.
You were still living in Jersey at this point?
Yeah. I didn't move out to L.A. until 97, 98. I still stayed in Jersey because at that point I had my daughter and she was still, I felt, too young for me to just kind of pick up and move.
Gotcha.
So I was kind of watching my obligations, especially being a single parent, until I felt she was old enough for me to figure out what I'm going to do. Plus, I have to say that at the time of Clerks, just after that, I never expected or anticipated ever moving to L.A., I got to say. I never saw that, although Brian always talks about coming out here, and the funny thing is, it's like he's still back there and I'm out here now.
Wow.
That audition was not a very good experience for me.
So they pulled you in. You were under the assumption that maybe you had, hopefully, at least a little bit of an inside track, being that you had a history here, and was it just basically a disconnect where all these new people that were studio execs and now involved in a Kevin Smith movie weren't really, you know, feeling the whole old crew, not really maybe as familiar with you guys?
Honestly, I don't know what it was. I mean, you know, yes, Clerks kind of made a name for itself, but that doesn't necessarily mean that it made a name for us. So to them, we were still unknown, you know. We had no name as far as they were concerned. They wanted names. That's the only thing that I can assume.
Who booted you for Shannon Doherty?
I don't, you know, who knows? It's like I said, it's like, it was kind of like, oh, okay, we'll let them audition, you know, just for the sake of auditioning because, well, you know, they were in Clerks and whatever. And it's like, but, you know, never gave me the benefit to actually give it my best. But then again, you know, it's something that I had never really done before. Yes, I did the audition, and you're like, oh, and here's another thing. It's like, you know, looking at the 10th anniversary DVD of my audition, I don't know how I got the part of Veronica. frankly, I feel like I've done that piece much better than that night. But hey, you know, the emotion got to Kevin, so I guess that's what did it for him. But, you know, all a learning experience.
Absolutely, absolutely. And it says, you know, reading further in your biographical information, it mentions that despite the Mallrats thing, you were offered a role in Chasing Amy, which that was Kevin's movie after Mallrats, is that right? Or was
yes, that was the third film that Kevin got to shoot.
Okay.
And
that was...
Yes.
That was a smaller movie in budget, I'm certain of it, than Mallrats was, but...
I believe so.
But, so how did that work out then? Was that another audition situation?
No, actually, I didn't have to audition for the role. He did offer it up to me. He did let me read the particular part of that script. And, excuse me, just kind of getting over sinus infection. But after I read it, I just kind of looked at it and I didn't know that I could do that. I didn't know if I was comfortable with the role because he offered me the role opposite Joey Lauren Adams as her girlfriend.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, who knows now? It's like hindsight. Who can tell whether at my experience now versus my experience then.
Well,
whether
the world and pop culture have changed so much. I mean, even thinking back to that, that's another thing that at the time, you know, I remember seeing that movie. Actually, I saw it at college in an auditorium because it was sort of a double header with Kevin actually coming in and doing a Q&A. And that was right after it got released as well. And that was like... pretty groundbreaking stuff in and of itself for a comedy to explore all those issues. Mm-hmm. But fast forward to now, I mean, things are a lot different. Things are a lot more commonplace as far as seeing, you know, seeing lesbians in our society, seeing lesbians in different forms of pop culture. And do you think it would have been a different situation if all this came down today?
I think about that a lot, actually. And it's not that I'm homophobic or anything like that. My brother is gay. It's not anything of that nature. It's more of a whether I was able to do that and whether I was confident enough to be able to pull that off, I think, too.
Mm-hmm.
But then again, it's like the other thing that I kind of put to my mind is I can't remember from reading the script whether it would have been Veronica or if it was just somebody else. I can't remember that. And also, after having seen it and after having seen the person that they actually did cast, she was very alternative, tattoos, piercings, and all that kind of stuff. And I'm like, well,
yes.
Would they have done that to me? Like, I, you know, as putting myself in the position of a casting director, I'm like, I don't see it. I don't see me there. It just doesn't make any sense. But
no.
I don't know what they had in mind for the character when they had me in mind for the character. You know what I mean?
Right. So maybe it was a different vision of the character that was adjusted when they got somebody different in the role, or
right.
One of those things you'll. We'll
never know.
Well, but that's just what it is. It's one of those crossroads in life. And so what was your, and I should say, what is your relationship? Do you still have any sort of relationship with Kevin or any of the crew?
The people that I keep in touch with the most are Brian and Scott Schnapper, who played the Chili's Grand. You know, I consider my relationship with Kevin a working relationship, where it's like we never really touch base outside of it and outside of any promotional things that we did. You know, but I'm a fan of Kevin. I enjoy his movies. I'm a fan of his work. You know, other than Corpse Chasing Amy is one of my favorites, as is Jersey Girl and New State and all, you know. So,
Has there been any discussions of you getting involved in any of the other projects that he had going on over the years or anything? We'll get
no,
to the future in a second, but
not since Chasing Amy.
Okay. I was just, I mean, even thinking back to, like, when they tried to do the Clerks animated series, I'm trying to remember. I don't think your character was involved in that at all.
No, and I was never approached about the animated series either, or even doing any of the voices or, you know, anything like that. Basically, it was when I was allowed to audition for Mallrats and when I was offered the role in Chasing Amy. You know, other than that, there was never anything else.
Gotcha. Understood. Is that something, I mean, even looking toward the future, obviously it's pretty well publicized that some semblance of a Clerks 3 is coming. Is that something that you were interested in either seeing or being involved in?
Well, I'd be a fool to say no. you know, all I know is what has been out there. I've not been approached by anybody. I have been sent some of the Q&As that Kevin has done on his tour right now with the animated series that he has with Jason. And so it's out there. I do the Google alerts and all that kind of stuff. So I do see my name attached, and I have heard it out of his mouth, but I've not been approached about anything yet. So, you know, I really can't say what's going on because I don't know.
So you're in the movie, but somebody forgot to tell you.
Yeah, to some degree, yeah.
That should be an interesting story to watch. But
it would be very interesting to see where the character has gone. You know,
yeah, and it would be an awesome. I mean, just the kinds of fans that these movies have. You know, they'd love to see these sort of throwbacks and these characters mm-hmm. come back and sort of connect all those dots. Mm-hmm. I'm sure they would love to see you. Do you get a lot of requests to do conventions and things like that?
I have. I've been doing conventions since, I would probably say, I think 2008 or somewhere around there.
Okay.
I was first contacted through, I think it was MySpace at the time. And I was like, what? Who is this? And funny story is that they claim to have involvement with all these other people, and little did they know that, okay, I can contact that person, this person, that person regarding these people, because I actually did know some people at that time through friends and all that kind of stuff. And so it seemed to be somewhat legit, and so I contacted them, and I asked them, all right, so what is this? What are you talking about? And they told me what it involves, and like, people pay money for my autographs? Yeah, like, come on. It's not computing in the brain, you know?
you have to give yourself some credit here.
All new stuff. So it's like, you know, I hadn't heard about conventions at that time. I hadn't heard about all this other stuff. You know, it's something that I know very well now, but you know, when new things come along, and yeah, you know, it's like maybe I don't give myself enough credit, you know, but hey, I'm an actor. we're all insecure, you know?
I think we're all insecure no matter what we do. But,
right, exactly.
Even if you don't want to give yourself the credit, I think the important thing is that you have to look at just the enormity, the magnitude of the influence that that one movie has had even today, and maybe even more so. You know, it's one of those things where I think it just gains more and more of a following as the years go on. So, hey, you're a part of that, whether you like it or not.
and you know what? And that's been the really nice thing about going to these conventions and meeting these people and finding out how it's affected their lives. It's like that you made a difference in somebody's life. And then seeing the generations that are now loving the movie as well. I was in Pittsburgh last year, and he had to be around anywhere from 10 to 12 years old. Can't remember exactly, but I saw him walking up with a friend of his, and he's like, I just want to say hello, and it's like, really great to meet you, and it's like, I really love the film, and I'm like, how old are you? It's like, are you sure you should be watching this movie?
They should not be watching your character or anything.
He seems premature for his age, though, I gotta say. And I think he said he kind of snuck watching the film or something like that, or maybe he saw it with his dad, I don't remember exactly, but, you know, you're talking, it's like now, I think probably third generations are now starting to kind of watch the film as well. So that actually is kind of a little freaky to get, you know, in your system a little bit.
Yeah, I guess it has to be, but I guess enough time has passed that you could have kids coming up and saying, yeah, my mom and dad love your movie. But hey, that just, again, it means look how long this thing has stood the test of time, and I think it will be for forever. I mean, it was a historic comedy, and you're still going. So, I mean, let's talk about what you have going on right now. Are you still actively doing work in film or theater, or what is your acting focus at this point?
Well, I am still actively pursuing an acting career. What can I say? Once I moved out here to LA back in '98, it was like starting all over again, and it's a struggle to kind of hold your head above water out here. It's not easy by any means. I had come out here kind of testing the waters and kind of fell in love with LA back in '97. And like I said, I never expected to move out here, and here I did. I did the move. But they kind of say if you survive the year out here, the first year, even the first 6 months, then you know, you'll probably be here for the long haul, because the first 6 months and the first year are really the hardest. Finding a job was not quite that easy. Just even a stable job, you know, pay the bills kind of thing. I have my day job. I do have my day job, and I pursue an acting career. I'm also a hair and makeup artist, and I've worked behind the scenes as well on various projects. Not too long ago, I kind of started doing photography, something that I've actually had an interest in since I was pretty young. But, you know, kind of going back to that, when I was young, I didn't realize I could actually make a living off of some of the things that we saw. I just thought it's like, oh, you got to grow up and work in an office. That's all I knew. So I started kind of doing some photography, kind of trying to focus a little bit more with actors' headshots, being that I do hair and makeup and being an actress, always... and trying to do it the way that I always went out there looking for a headshot photographer for myself. I didn't want to just kind of sit in front of the camera and pose. I'm an actress. I'm not a model.
Right.
So I kind of developed my own technique. So, you know, I try to do it all there. It just kind of leaves me with little time to do a lot of other things. But, I'm able to be able to live out here. I wouldn't say comfortably, but I do the best that I can. And I still network and meet people through the conventions, and I've worked on a lot, some other independent films, and have some other possible projects maybe lined up for the rest of the year, and there have been some that have were there as well, but you just kind of never know what's going to happen. And again, you know, this is the film industry. You never do know what's going to happen. So some of those projects fell through. Some of them are still kind of lingering up there in the air, kind of waiting for them to fall in my lap. And, you know, so to find out what's actually going to happen with those. But, you know, you when you have your passions, you don't give up. You just kind of keep moving along.
Yeah, and the fact that you're still there, you're still going for your passion. You've got multiple passions. I mean, that seems like a winning situation for you. You're staying busy, and you've got a life that you've built. You're not just someone who had a dream, packed up their things, moved out there, and disappeared from the face of the earth. You've built a life there. So, hey,
yeah.
To me, that's the kind of person that anything could happen at any time. But I have to ask you, I know you're pretty down on your star power. You don't think that you've got much a name recognition, et cetera, et cetera. But there's got to be some situations where you're, you know, working at your day job or somewhere in civilian life, some people have to recognize you. Have you experienced that?
I have. Not quite as much lately in the last few years
mm-hmm.
as in the past, but occasionally it still does happen.
Does it get embarrassing at any point? Do they immediately go to the most obnoxious, most embarrassing traits of your most well-known character?
You know, mostly at the conventions, you know, there's always the number that comes out. And I have no problem with that at all.
Is that part of your autograph?
Sometimes it is. Yeah, sometimes it is. Everybody wants to be number 38. I'm like, you know how old that is? You've got to be original with the number now. It's been 20 years. It's like, come on. You don't want to be like everybody else.
People do people seriously do that? Have you seriously been approached in a legit manner with a request to be number 38, thinking that it's going to work?
Well, you know, as far as like what I put down on the autograph photo or anything like that, but I will say this. There is a way to approach a person, and for the most part, I can take the joke. But, you know, if there is that fine line of how people kind of take it to a certain degree, and that can be a little uncomfortable.
Yeah, I think so.
and mostly it happened when I kind of sort of got into a regular relationship, and then certain comments would come out, and, you know, that actually, you know, was a bit much, maybe. You know, and a little weird and uncomfortable.
So that's interesting. I was more picturing the scenario of, you know, being in a social environment at a bar or something like that, and somebody just feeling their oats a little bit. But
here's the situation. I'm not really a bar person.
Yeah, that's probably a good idea. You don't want to.
And I gotta say that, you know, lots of times when I've been in certain places, people wouldn't expect it to be me. Sometimes it's my voice that has kind of given me away a little bit. And there'd be times and moments where people said, you know who you look like? It's like, you kind of sound like her a little bit too, because they didn't expect that it actually would be me.
Right.
And so I just kind of look at them and like, it's like, and as a hair and makeup artist, I go to weddings and, you know, sometimes people are like, you guys, you look familiar. And I just kind of look at them like, gee, I don't know.
It's like a secret identity.
So, you know, it's especially working on weddings and things like that. And I'm here as a hair and makeup artist. I'm working on the bride. This is her day. I don't want to be taken away from the moment. Now, there are moments that they knew who I was right off the bat. And so, trying to downplay it as much as possible, because I felt weird for myself, you know, when this is like the day for the bride. But then sometimes the bride would, actually for the most part, the bride would be like, oh, this is so cool, and make sure to take photos.
Right. And, I would think overall most people would be thrilled, you know, if you're somebody that they enjoyed or someone that they liked in Clerks or whatever the case may be. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, it's probably a benefit. It's probably one of those things that you're selling yourself short on. This could be a good lure for you. You need to really put that.
I know there. Yeah, most people will probably take advantage of the whole thing. And I was brought up in a certain way that it's hard for me to kind of do that.
Gotcha. Yeah, too much of maybe a little too much spotlight. Not something you're looking for in that situation.
Well, I don't know. I don't know if it's more of people taking advantage of the situation and just kind of, you know, putting, you know, like, well, you know, how about we do this and do that, and you know, that's probably how people get ahead most of the time. But I am the type of person that I don't just go ask. It's like, hey, do you have a role for me? And more the subtle types.
Right. The old-fashioned way. Nothing wrong with that.
Hope that they come to me for my abilities. I don't know.
Hey, that's the noble way to do it. It's probably not common. It's something that you commonly see around you, but there's definitely something admirable about that. So that's great. Let's talk about the website again. Let people know where they can find you, because you are still. You're still, you know, doing what you do. You're still acting. Mm-hmm. You're still, entertaining opportunities, and you're still out there. So this website is your name, which I guess I should probably spell it for the world. It's Marilyn. You guys can spell that. Gigliotti, Gigliotti. .com. This is where you can find all things Marilyn, including photos, a demo reel, resume, some information about your voiceover work, which is pretty cool. A store. I didn't even look at the store. What do we have for sale here?
Photos that I actually take to the conventions with me.
Okay.
Some of they're stills from the front Clerks, actually. And then, I mean, I also have some other photos as well that I just don't have up there, but basically they're for the same price as they would be at the conventions, along with shipping and handling.
Gotcha. And there's also a note here, which is something I'm seeing a lot of pop up just in the last month or so, to purchase a live phone call from yours truly. Is that a service you're still offering?
That was a company, Hollywood Is Calling. They approached me about doing this, and so, yeah, it is something that's there. I've never had anybody go ahead and do this, but I saw a lot of other people that I know, celebrity-wise, that are on this site, and so I figured, okay, well, what the heck, you know, I'll give it a try and see.
Well, folks, I can attest to the fact that lots of fun to talk to Marilyn on the phone. So if you're interested, that's definitely something you'd want to check out on here. You also have an email video greeting card opportunity as well. So that'd be kind of a cool thing to get for perhaps a Clerks fan.
Mm-hmm. And then I also have voiceovers that I've actually started doing, and so I have some demos on that as well.
Yeah, I see that. There's a whole section just for the voiceover that's got to be a lot of fun.
it is, yes. I'm in the middle of an audiobook right now that I have to get started on, actually.
Gotcha. Always things going on. Well, Marilyn, it's been awesome having you on this show. I really do appreciate you giving an insight, not just into your career, but just that whole period of time that, I mean, if you think about it, one of the hallmark things from the 90s, which is what we're all about here, was the emergence of Clerks, was you, the rest of the cast. So it's awesome get your insight onto that time, catch up with you. What's going on now? Is there anything else that you want to plug or you want to promote?
Well, like I said, I do the audiobooks. I'm on Facebook. Everybody can find me on Facebook, and that's where I pretty much kind of let everybody know what's going on with my life. I'm pretty open. Anybody's welcome to friend me, and if you got questions, I pretty much answer them. And I'm also on Twitter, that Quirks Girl, at Twitter. And then, I've got the audiobooks. I've got a film that's actually in post-production right now called Starship Rising. That one actually is pretty fun, independent sci-fi kind of thing, and he's looking to hopefully film third part, because it's like he did, Neil Johnson is the writer-director. He already did two back-to-back on that one, so he's looking to do a third on that sometime this year. And then possibly Clerks 3 in the near future.
And hey, if you guys out there want to see Marilyn back in front of your face on Clerks 3, maybe some industrious young person out there can start one of these newfangled social media campaigns. get a petition together. Make a movement happen. I think it's a worthwhile cause.
Well, hey, the script is written already, and then this is what he says. But I'm not counting the chickens before they hatch.
Do you know, is this actually supposed to be a live action thing? Has that been decided upon? Or
I have no idea.
There's lots of mystery around this for one of the most vocal people in all of the movie industry, but yet somehow there still remains a lot of mystery. But I guess we'll all see what happens in the future. Hopefully Marilyn will be a part of it. And Marilyn, we want to once again, thank you so much for being a part of this show today.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. It's been a really nice interview.
Great. I appreciate it. And folks, this has been Down with the 90s. We will see you next week. I am Jerry Strauss. Thanks.